Welcome to Who Killed Whitney, the podcast dedicated to investigating the murder of Whitney Houston. I'm George Coloris.
And I'm Shakira DeMessier.
This is Episode 8, Bobby Christina.
You know, George, I am really interested in Nick Gordon, particularly because he seems to be really involved in both of these deaths, Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to be getting into today. Nick Gordon suspiciously is there just a couple doors down from Whitney's room when she drowns. And then he's in the house when his then girlfriend, Bobby Christina, also drowns. So Bobby Brown, as we've said, thinks that that connects these two. So really no investigation about how Whitney died is complete without a discussion about the death of her daughter, Bobby Christina.
I remember watching that Bobby Brown interview with Jada Pinkett, which mm-hmm. I find to be hilarious because Jada Pinkett has some like specific ways that she agrees, you know, with everyone. It's always like,
Got it.
Cracks me up. And I know it's supposed to be a serious thing, but the response is hilarious. But yeah, Bobby Brown never really says like the specifics as to the relation with Nick Gordon, whether that's like, oh, he believes that because he was their pusher or because of just the proximity that he was during these deaths. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to hear more about what Bobby Brown means when he says that Nick Gordon should have been implicated. In what way?
Well, we'll definitely get into that. You may not know this, but Bobby Brown and actually the entire Brown family sue Nick Gordon after Bobby Christina dies for a wrongful death. And so a lot of what I found for today's episode comes from those court documents.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm excited to hear more.
As you know, a few years after Whitney dies in 2015, Bobby Christina is also found unconscious in her tub. The fact that a mother and daughter are both dying the same way is just really crazy suspicious to me. But before we get into this, Shakira, I just kind of want to warn you and the listeners that this story gets really dark and involves domestic violence and drug abuse.
Thank you for that warning, George.
Okay, so as we discussed, after Whitney Houston died, Bobby Christina took her mother's death very, very hard. She also ended up going to the hospital the day after Whitney died with a panic attack. She had physical response to her anxiety, and it really hit her.
Yeah, I could imagine. It's her mom.
And the two were also like super close, right? Whitney made a point to never leave Bobby Christina alone. She took her everywhere with her. And this also becomes a huge part of the problem. While Whitney saw it as protecting her, it also completely exposes Bobby Christina to everything in her parents' lives.
But even if she didn't, if, you know, Whitney didn't take Bobby Christina everywhere, she was pretty exposed already between her reality show, between just living in the house with, you know, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston. I don't think they're hiding much in that house when they were together and when they were all around. So I feel like even if she didn't, she was already hyper exposed to that lifestyle.
No, for sure. Chrissy saw a lot in that house growing up. They didn't hide much from her. And then, you know, she just also took her on the road. She saw everything. And personally, I think this is connected to a trauma that Whitney faced as a child that didn't actually become public until after she died. As you know, the biggest takeaway I got from the 2018 documentary Whitney was my suspicion about the whole case. But the actual big takeaway, huge headline shocker of the documentary was a revelation that Whitney was sexually abused as a young girl.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Allegedly, it happened when Whitney was being cared for by her cousin, the singer Dee Dee Warwick, Dion's sister. She was watching her and her brothers while Sissy was on tour. And according to the documentary, Mary Jones, her assistant, says that Whitney told her, and then Pat also confirms this, that she also knew. And Whitney's brother, Gary, also comes out and says that he was also abused by Dee Dee at that time.
Wow. That is news to me. I have a few acquaintances that have gone through sexual abuse and now have children, and they feel the same way about their children in regards to protecting them. So they'll mm-hmm. bring them everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that has some connection with Whitney.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think that Whitney's response to her trauma was to never leave her daughter alone. And that's why she took Bobby Christina everywhere. That's what Pat thinks as well. Pat says that in the documentary.
Wow.
Now, Dionne Warwick, of course, says this is not true. Sissy was shocked with the news and said she couldn't believe it. And both Robin Crawford and Bobby Brown, who had been very close to Whitney, say that she had never told them this confession. So there's possibility that it's not true, but that's what the family came out and confessed when the documentary came out. And that kind of makes sense with why Chrissy was never alone.
Right. And also this brings conversation around sexual abuse, especially with family. It's difficult to, you know, express that to family members because you get this kind of pushback like, no, that didn't happen, or why didn't you tell me sooner? And it's, I think a lot of people fail to recognize that this young person is a victim. This person is a victim.
Absolutely.
And you should treat them like, you know, with care and special attention. But I find that to be really prevalent, especially in Black communities where, you know, you're afraid to say something because you don't want to be neglected by your family.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem. I mean, believe children. I've never known of a kid to make this up.
Right. Believe your children. Unless your kid's like, oh, there's a dinosaur under my bed. Then it's like, that's ridiculous. Don't believe that. But everything else, believe
them. So Whitney even tried taking Bobby Christina to rehab with her. It was really important that they were together. She never left her daughter alone. And as I understand it, after the divorce with Bobby, they're living in Atlanta along with Nick Gordon, who's living with them at that time.
Whoa.
Bobby Brown's sister says that Nick Gordon ended up becoming the source for everything, that Whitney really leaned into her depression and her addiction in that time. She wouldn't leave the house. And Nick Gordon, I guess, is bringing food, is bringing drugs, is bringing anything Whitney needed. And she just never left the house. So it was just a really dark place at that time.
Wow. And I imagine Bobby Christina was in that same boat. If he's bringing all these things for Whitney, and I imagine that they're all in the house together, and it's kind of this just really dark house. It's not just Whitney. It's so it was just a house of what sounds like horror.
Yeah. And even, you know, if Whitney was trying to not use in front of Bobby Christina, if your mom is upstairs all day in the room getting high as fuck, like that affects you. Even if you didn't actually see the use, you saw the aftermath and everything, and it's in your life and it's in your house. And apparently she starts using it recreationally and socially. And soon at some point it becomes an addiction in her own right. There's different questions in the timeline of when that transition happens, but the drug use begins before Whitney dies.
It's so sad. So
Whitney and Bobby Christina had a really super complicated relationship. They're close, but there's also a lot of pain. And as we know it, when Bobby Christina finds out that Whitney died, she ends up having a total breakdown, goes to the hospital. Somehow she makes it through the very public funeral. And then she comes back to Atlanta with Nick and her family to try to grieve and move on with her life.
It's interesting that she kept Nick Gordon in her life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because after having your mom die and have it supposedly be because of drug use, you would think that you would get rid of the pusher. You know what I mean? You're faced now with your own mortality because you're in the same kind of boat.
Yeah.
And you would think, you know what? I need to get rid of Nick Gordon. I need to go to Bobby Brown was clean at the time, I think. I need to go to, you know, dad and figure it out. But that didn't happen.
I wish. Now, if anything, the opposite happens. She and Nick become closer. You know, according to everyone, before Whitney died, the two of them were like brother and sister. Whitney referred to him as her son, as Bobby Christina's brother. And then after Whitney dies, within a few months, they're together. It's only 3 months later when Lifetime announces the new show, The Houstons on Our Own. Do you remember this?
Was it the reality show?
It was a reality show, and it was Bobby Christina and Pat and Gary and Sissy and Nick Gordon all on a reality show together, like within months.
I don't remember that. I have to go back and watch that. I really don't remember that show. I remember the first reality show with them as a family, Whitney.
Being Bobby Brown?
Yeah, being Bobby Brown. Yes, that one. I didn't know there was another show. I got to watch that.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not as bad as being Bobby Brown. Being Bobby Brown was both bad and very, very hard to watch.
Yes. So when you say bad, because reality shows have a standard of being bad. So when you say bad, do you mean like, oh, man,
I guess I mean
like,
wrong.
I can't watch this? Or, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Whitney and Bobby were not sober during Being Bobby Brown.
No.
And it was, and Chrissy was there and she was very young and it was really hard to watch. And I think that's why it was bad. It was just, it shouldn't be a show. These people shouldn't be put on TV. These people needed help. It really hurt everyone's regard for them. I think this is bad in the sense that it also shouldn't exist because we're within weeks of a family losing like a very important member. And they're again putting this publicly out into the world. And I don't think that that's good for anyone's mental health.
Mm, I see. So it's bad because it's poor taste.
I think,
but
it's in poor taste.
How was the show?
And then it makes it hard to watch, right? I was a fan and both times I couldn't watch the shows. I'm like, this is too uncomfortable for me to watch this.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think they were hard up for money?
I think so. Mm. And I also think Pat Houston is the kind of manager who doesn't turn shit down.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how she gets paid, right? If you get paid by commission, you don't turn shit down.
Yeah.
But that's just me guessing. I don't know the contract behind this show.
Okay.
So in the first episode, Nick and Bobby Christina basically come out as a couple.
My name is Nick Gordon. My life changed dramatically when I met Chrissy and Whitney. I was going to high school. My mom had kicked me out of the house. And Chrissy being my friend, I got to know Whitney. She took me in.
We were best friends long, long, long ago, long time ago. And now I'm in love with him. It was never anything that these people are saying that is incest. None of that. You guys can take my word for it.
But also, let this be a lesson to all the listeners. Let this be a lesson. If your mate is like, oh my gosh, that's just my brother, or that's just my sister, and they're not actually related, at some point, they gonna be fucking, okay?
Yeah.
So, that's not true. You can say, hey, that is my friend, or, you know, oh, that's, you know, a girl I knew from yada, 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 or a guy I knew from that's not your brother. And I really wish people would stop doing that. You have no blood relation.
Mm. What about the other one, Shakira? Because there's the other scenario where if a girl says to a guy, oh, you're like a brother to me, that means you're never fucking.
Accurate. But not, you know what? Not even because you find that girl in a vulnerable place. Okay.
Oh, that's true.
She, unless you are her actual brother, anything could happen. So even then, it's like.
And the guy will always be up for it.
Come on. I don't trust it. I don't like it. I'm down for like friends of the opposite sex, but I am not down for people saying this is my sibling when it's not your actual sibling.
Yeah.
You know, we have play cousins. I got play cousins. Play cousins, like people I've grown up with, you know, that we have no relation, but we grew up like really close. They're my play cousins. But I say that's my play cousin. Like we have actual no relation. And if at one point I feel like I want to get down with the get down, I will do so because they're not actually family. It's ridiculous. Enough.
I think that's where the family was at when they hear this news, right? Because later at the dinner, Bobby Christina is like showing this ring to Pat and is like, do you see my ring? It's mommy's ring. And then she goes, it's also sort of an engagement ring.
Oh, wait. He gave her mother's ring?
That's all
I'm
saying.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. That's not okay.
Kind of cheap shit. What are we talking about?
She inherited that. He gave her her own ring.
Ring? What? And she was like, oh, look at my ring.
Yeah, look at my ring. We're engaged. It's like, that was already your ring.
Yes. And also, Pat should have been like, bitch, I've seen that already.
Yeah. That's not new.
It was your mother's, weirdo. That
what
is
would
so
you do?
Crazy.
What would you do if some man proposed to you with your own ring you already owned?
I'm like, thank you for putting my ring on my finger. Thank you.
Not even a ring pop. I mean, come on, dude.
Come on. That is ridiculous. That's so upsetting.
No, and that camera cuts to Pat and her face is straight up says, what the actual fuck? Like right there on her face, thinking the same thing. Like, I'm shocked. I can't believe they're doing this. That's already hers. Like everything is on Pat's face in that moment.
It's so wrong for so many reasons. And the fact that she's coming up to Pat excitedly.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Here's news. This person I called my brother until yesterday proposed to me with something I already own.
Right. Oh, this is getting curiouser and curiouser.
Yeah, the rest of the show really just goes downhill from there. It chronicles their relationship, Chrissy's attempting to launch a singing career of her own, which is something that Whitney was trying to help her do before she died. And then there's the family struggling with Nick and Bobby Christina's obvious addictions, and their drinking and stuff was going on. So it's really hard to watch. And like I said, I have not been able to watch all of it, but it's all on YouTube if you want to go and dive in. So Nick and Bobby Christina end up having a super toxic relationship. In January of 2014, Bobby Christina tweeted a photo of rings on both her and Nick's hands with the hashtag happily married. And so that's how I announced to people that they were married. But her family, however, has made it abundantly clear that they were never actually married.
So they didn't do like the paperwork and all the things.
Yeah, they, I guess, got married in the sense that he gave her some jewelry she already owned and they posted a picture of it on Twitter and said, we're married.
That's ridiculous. That's like going into like my jewelry box and getting me like my own necklace and then like, happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some bullshit.
What? And then I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, that's what you do to me if you're trying to break up with me. Give me something I already own as a gift. And I'll know that means you want me to throw you out the house.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Did you see? This is a complete side note. But there is this video on TikTok. I don't even have TikTok. I don't know how it got to me. Mm-hmm. But it did. And for Christmas, this guy, like, gave his girlfriend a bunch of gifts and she was like opening the gifts. The first one was like a pair of sneakers that she already owned. And she was like, oh my gosh, you're so crazy. Like, what are you doing? And there were like a bunch of boxes, right? She's like, oh my God, you're so crazy. And so she like opened another box and it was like her jacket. And she was like, what's going on? And she opened a third box and it was something else that she owned. And he was like, I heard you were sleeping with my coworker. I need you to pack up your stuff. I already did half of it and get out. I was like, oh, the pettiness. The pettiness.
That's so good.
On Christmas?
That's great. That's so good.
He waited. He wrapped the gifts. Like, that is the most. He taped it.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
That is the most petty man. I do not want to be with that man, okay? He's petty on another level.
What a great way to throw someone out.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, I got you some luggage. Now get your shit out of my house.
Yes. Yes.
He I feel did. Like she had to do some pretty serious shit for him to want to sit down and dedicate that much time and effort.
Yep.
To be that patient.
Yep.
While so also patient. That petty.
Right.
Emotional damage happened. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, she messed that man up.
Yeah, she did.
She messed him up.
Yeah, she did.
Because I don't He'll even really like wrapping again. Gifts for people I love.
Right, like me good neither. Stuff either. You know what I mean? Like beautiful new sweaters. I don't want to wrap it up. He wrapped up seems old like a lot of work. Shit. Oh, gosh.
That's iconic.
So after they announce that they're, quote, married, it seems to be where the relationship gets even darker and darker. So Nick allegedly starts cutting off Bobby Christina from her world and her support system. He starts answering her phone. He won't let her meet with people without his approval. He takes control of her finances. He even starts transferring large sums of money from her account into his.
Whoa.
They're living in a house in the Atlanta suburb of Roswell with Nick's friend Max Lomas and Max's girlfriend Daniela Bradley. Daniela actually describes in horrible detail what she witnessed living with Bobby Christina. And this comes from a deposition she gave from a car accident that Bobby Christina was in. The car accident happened before Bobby Christina died, but the deposition was after Bobby Christina died.
Got it.
In that deposition, Daniela claims that in the weeks before her death, she saw Bobby Christina and Nick both smoking crack and doing heroin. She says that Nick did it more than Bobby Christina, but that they both were doing it. And apparently early on, Bobby Christina was trying to hide the behavior. But after a few weeks, it became pretty obvious what was going on. And Daniela described Bobby Christina saying that when she did heroin, it would make her really sleepy. And when she would smoke crack, it would make her super quiet and withdrawn from everybody.
I'm wondering, did the deposition say anything about her and her boyfriend's drug use or whether or not they were also users?
She said that everyone in the house smoked weed, but she, at least from the parts I read, doesn't speak to her use specifically. We know that Max also did harder drugs, though.
Okay. I don't know if that really matters, but I saw Euphoria.
Yeah.
The show on HBO. And she says, she's like, oh, it's just weed, right? When she's like doing hardcore drugs.
Mm.
And she says it's weed in order for her to give her some kind of alibi when she's acting weird.
Yeah, because that's like part of her gaslighting, right?
That's right. That's right. Mm.
It sounds like that's what's going on in this house.
Yeah. I mean, if you are living in a house like and everybody's doing drugs and you're not doing drugs, like you're doing drugs. Like yeah. You're doing more than weed. I just can't imagine. They're like, oh, do you want some crack? And you're like, no, every day. No, I don't believe it.
Yeah. You're like, what? Just like the sober, happy homemaker in the place while everyone else is real high. You're like cleaning up and making muffins.
Yeah.
Going to the gym and, you know, being very productive. And that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. And I refuse to believe it. Also, not that it has anything to do with the, you know, with what we're actually talking about. But it's
fair enough. So Daniela also says she saw physical violence between Nick Gordon and Bobby Christina. She describes an incident she saw once a few weeks before Bobby Christina died, where Nick hit her so hard while she was sitting on the couch that it apparently broke the couch.
What?
Yeah, he knocks her onto the floor. Her face is bloody. Her tooth has been knocked out. And then he continues to kick her in the side, like in the ribs, while she's on the floor screaming and curled up in fetal position.
Oh my God.
No, it's horrible. It's horrible. He then demands when he's done that she goes upstairs, and poor Bobby Christina is so injured she can't get up. She has to crawl upstairs. So Nick drags her, apparently, and throws her into the room. There's like blood on the walls. It's a horrible scene.
Oh my God.
And then he tells witnesses, I don't do this often, both like excusing his behavior and also signaling that this wasn't the first time.
Right. Oh my gosh. That is so awful. That's
awful. Horrible. It's horrible. It's a horrible scene of domestic violence, and it's really awful that she was going through that. Police apparently had been called to their place a few weeks earlier, and also once in 2013 when police found Bobby Christina unresponsive on the floor. Nick told police that she had had a seizure, but she has no history of seizures.
I'm interested in their roommates. Like, you see somebody getting beat up, dragged down, knocked down. Two of you. There's two of you in the house. And no one says anything?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like nobody really did anything about it. There's rumors that Bobby Christina was reaching out to her family. Bobby Brown said that she had reached out to him. In the court documents, it also says that she had been texting with a family member and it's like, Nick isn't who I thought he was. Mm. And apparently she was supposed to see Bobby Brown later in the day she died or the next day after she died. She had plans to see him, possibly to talk about trying to get away. So this was getting really bad.
Oh my gosh, that is awful. Like, he was probably like reading her text messages and
No, it sounds like he was really, really controlling.
Yeah. This is a person you grew up with. And so you agree to marry because you have a level of trust in them and a level of knowingness of who they are and their character. And then to get into a new kind of relationship with them and they're completely different is like traumatizing.
And she's in a place where he's like the only person she can trust, right? She says in the reality show, she's kind of not close to her grandmother. She and Pat seem to have their differences. So he's her entire support system. You know, she was weird with Bobby at that time. So she really had limited her world to him, and he took advantage of that and reduced her entire support system down to him. And so she also has no one to go to. It's really, really horrible. It's kind of a classic case of domestic violence, and it's really awful.
Right.
And unrelated, but also related, Nick was arrested in 2018 on domestic violence charges against his then girlfriend after Bobby Christina. And that just shows a history of violence.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. So after Bobby Christina died, that's when he got a new girlfriend? Or was there like a break? Or
I mean, this was like 3 years later. So I don't know if it was the girlfriend immediately after Bobby Christina or several later, but his girlfriend in 2018 filed charges against him and he was arrested for hitting her and being pretty abusive as well.
Wow.
He just sounds like a really scary and dangerous guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Pat Houston had to get a restraining order against him in 2014 after he made a series of threats via Twitter. And like, he's talking about how he was going to kill people and bring his guns and stuff. And Pat thought they were all directed to him because she had recently refused to increase Bobby Christina's allowance. So she went and got a restraining order against him.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And this was in 2014. And what year did Bobby Christina pass?
Bobby Christina passes in 2015. And my understanding is the restraining order was in place. So Nick Gordon wasn't even allowed to go to the hospital while her family was at the hospital with her because of that restraining order.
Whoa. I'm wondering if, I mean, there's, I guess, no way to know. There is a way to know if Bobby Christina knew about this restraining order. And like, my thought is that he had to have been exhibiting some behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is absolutely a crazy behavior to like be threatening people on social media. Ridiculous yeah. behavior.
That's really erratic.
Oh my gosh. What a troubled life.
No, it's horrible. So we get to early morning, January 31st, 2015, and this is the day Bobby Christina drowns. And there's conflicting reports here of what happened. So as I said, most of what I'm reporting on comes from the court documents from the Brown family's lawsuit later in 2015 against Nick Gordon. It's a court document, but I also have no validation of the claims, but it's the best account I have of what happened.
Okay.
There's also an interview Max Lomas, the roommate, gave to People magazine. And so there's some details that don't match, and I've tried to put together the narrative as much as possible, what I was able to fit together. So as I understand it, Nick, Max, and another friend are at a club when Bobby Christina calls Nick and accuses him of being at a strip club and cheating on her with strippers. Now, Nick and Max says they were not at a strip club. But in my experience, dudes almost are always lying when their girl calls and says, "Are you at a strip club?"
Right. They're probably at a strip club, or they're going to a strip club.
Yeah. Women have like a sixth sense about this. I don't know many women who've ever thought that their man was at a strip club and been wrong and have him be like, "No, baby, I'm not at a strip club," and him not been lying.
Right.
But that's my life, not theirs. And that might not be what happened in that situation.
No, but if you have an inkling of like your man is at the strip club, he's at the strip club, girl. Don't guess that. That's where he is. I tell women all the time, I'm single, by the way. Maybe this is why. But if you think your man is cheating, he probably is. He probably is.
By the time you pick up his phone and start going through it, you're just proving what you already know.
You already know.
Yeah.
You already
know.
Because
you knew by having to pick up that phone. Unless you're real crazy and possessive. And that's something you're going to have to work out on your own time.
Yes. Yes. Unless that is like, girl, you need a therapist. Some people need help. But usually, if you suspect your man is cheating, he probably is. And now you have the option of staying with him or not staying with him. Mm-hmm. That's your choice. But he is, sis.
Well, Max says that they left the club in a hurry and that then Nick and Bobby Christina were fighting on the phone in the car the entire way home. So by the time they get to the house, Bobby Christina's sitting off in a corner by herself. She's despondent, kind of won't talk to anybody. And then Nick notices some empty wine bottles and some cigarettes that aren't her brand. And so then he goes to review the security footage, because this man has security footage and like audio recordings of his house, I guess, to see what was going on there. Right. Talk about controlling.
Wow.
So that's, I guess, when he and Bobby Christina got into a heated argument. And it's one of those arguments that just goes like across the entire house. So it starts in the kitchen, then it goes to the living room, then it goes upstairs, and they're just like going at each other. They both are accusing each other of cheating. And allegedly, Nick calls Bobby Christina a whore and a bitch. And the fight lasts for over half an hour. And then suddenly everything goes quiet. And there's three accounts of what happens next.
Yes. And I'm ready to hear all of them.
All right. So Nick Gordon's mom said that Nick walked away from the fight and went to bed.
Bullshit. Come on. Yeah. We know that's not the answer. We all know that's not it.
We know that's how it happened. That's lovely of a mom to think.
That is like, come on. That is the one answer that we know is not accurate, just based on the history. And where was she? Is she just making conjecture? Is she just like, oh, he probably went to sleep?
I'm with you.
I'm upset. I'm upset that she would even come out and say that. Like, that is not the history of your son, that he was like, all right, let's cool off, drink some water, and go to bed. Bullshit.
Yeah. I have a friend whose mom is like that. She always gives you the benefit of the doubt and then makes up shit that you didn't even tell her. And then she's like, well, I'm sure that he just said, Bobby Christina, you're getting very heated and I don't want to say anything I don't mean. So let's just both say our prayers and go to bed and, you know, talk about this in the morning over some eggs. Right. You know, and it's like, you know, that didn't happen.
You know, that didn't happen. And it's not even the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt, you have to have some doubt, right?
Like, the benefit.
There is no doubt that he is abusive. He is controlling. There's no doubt in that. Mm-mm. And, you know, talking over cool heads, that's not his MO. That's not what he does.
No. Nick tells Dr. Phil that he and Bobby Christina had the fight. At the end of the fight, they made up. And then he went downstairs to play video games. And that she went to take a bath.
Bullshit. Bull.
Yeah. Again, having a hard time believing that. What the court document says is that they have the fight. Everything goes quiet. Then Nick emerges from the bedroom wearing different clothes. And then he goes and lays in bed, puts his head on who I believe is Daniela on her ankle, and says to her, "Now I want a pretty little white girl like you."
Oh my God.
So fucked up. And I 100% believe that that's what happened.
I do. And gotta say this, because the audience knows I am a black woman. Pretty little white girls be lying. they do be lying. So that's 50-50.
Fair enough.
That's 50-50 to me. I'm not going to take that as the gospel truth.
Because, so we're going to say the other two are bullshit and that one's 50-50.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to say that one is 50-50 because I don't know about you, Daniela. I don't know.
Max ends up being the person to find her. By some accounts, it's 15 minutes or so later. In other accounts, Max doesn't find her until later that morning when the cable guy arrives.
Wait a minute. What is the court case?
So in August of 2015, the Brown family files this lawsuit against Nick Gordon for the wrongful death of Bobby Christina.
Okay.
In that lawsuit, they document the instances of abuse, the history of theft of money, this account right here of what happened the day she died. So that's all in this court case.
Okay, got it.
As I said, Max finds her. We're not sure if it was 15 minutes later or an hour or so later, and that she is once again face down in the tub. According to that court document, Bobby Christina was unresponsive, unconscious. Her mouth was swollen and another tooth was hanging loosely from her mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Unlike Whitney's tub, the water was ice cold. And bizarrely, there's a dustpan in the bottom of the tub.
Whoa.
I don't know what the fuck a dustpan is doing in that tub.
Right. First of all, who puts a dustpan in the tub, right?
That's not a comfortable thing to put in a tub.
Yeah, but also...
You don't light a candle and put a dustpan in the tub.
You don't clean the tub with a dustpan.
You don't sweep the tub.
That's not how you clean tubs. So under any circumstance, should a dustpan be in a tub?
Never. So it has to have been used in some sort of struggle, right?
Yes.
Either someone's using a dustpan to hold someone underwater, or someone is using a dustpan that was laying about trying to swat someone away from holding them underwater.
That's exactly right.
That's the only way I see dustpans getting into tubs.
That's right. I agree. I absolutely agree. And was the brush with the dustpan?
That is a really good question. It does not say so in the document.
I need to know. That's important information.
This is a key piece of information.
That's a key piece of information because I think that would prove like there was a struggle if the brush was like on the floor somewhere else, you know? I need to know. Man, I should have been in the FBI.
Dude, definitely. You've asked more questions than I've seen them ask. So Max calls for Nick. And I guess they attempt CPR, but I don't think either of them know how to do CPR.
A very important skill.
Nick apparently tries doing CPR and then between CPR compressions, I guess, tries slapping Bobby Christina and yelling, "Wake up," as if that's how you save a life. He's also being erratic and yelling to everyone, "Clean up, clean up." So Bobby Christina is taken to the hospital where she's revived and placed in a medically induced coma. She has irreversible brain damage and she's in the hospital for 6 months. And after 6 months, Bobby Christina dies on July 26th, 2015.
Oh, my gosh. So did she die of drowning? Was it drowning? Is that what the reports are saying?
No, the coroner's report comes out and it's fucking infuriating, right? Just the way it's written. The cause of death is pneumonia. And the pneumonia is due to, I'm going to try to pronounce this, hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. Gosh, I cannot say this word. Anyway, that's essentially a brain injury due to asphyxia that occurs when the brain doesn't receive enough oxygen or blood flow.
So someone choked her.
Yeah, or, you know, held her underwater and she couldn't get oxygen.
But if someone holds you underwater, though, then wouldn't the cause of death be there's water in the lungs?
But she didn't drown, right? She doesn't drown in that moment, but it does cause her not to get oxygen to her brain. So the full cause of death is the pneumonia due to the lack of oxygen in the brain, the word I can't pronounce, due to immersion in water mixed with drug intoxication. She was in water while high. That caused her to drown, which caused her to not get blood to the brain, which gave her the asphyxia, which then later causes the pneumonia, which ultimately kills her.
That's wrong. Look, I'm no coroner and I'm no doctor. Somebody choked her. She had drugs in the system. Let's say that. Whether it was that day, yesterday, whatever, she had drugs in her system. I think we can all agree to that. But if they're saying in this report it was an asphyxiation, that means choking and a lack of oxygen to the brain. And I think he choked her just enough, put her in the water to like knock her unconscious or whatever, put her in this like freezing cold water and hope that she would die. And when she didn't, he got like confused.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what happened, in my opinion, as well.
Told you I should have been it.
The coroner, that's where it makes me really mad, because the coroner says all this, and then they say manner of death undetermined. And then there's a quote here. The circumstances under which Ms. Brown entered the bathtub are unknown. Whether her death was due to intentional or accidental causes are unknown. Therefore, the manner of Ms. Brown's death is classified as undetermined. But like, I'm pretty capable of determining this shit.
Gosh.
It's total bullshit.
It's total bullshit. And it really makes me so sad because, you know, there's no one protecting her or Whitney. And it makes me think about all the folks who don't have Whitney or Bobby Christina money, who are nobody knows, you know, and who are just not being investigated properly.
Yeah.
It really is so sad and wrong.
That's been one of the things that really stands out, Shakira. I think so, too. How did Dr. Fowler say it? The write-off effect? It's like when society's just written people off and it's like, oh, well, she was high in a tub. Can't determine what did it. And it's like, it's pretty obvious that she got held under with a dustpan. You know, this isn't the hardest case to crack.
Yeah. They just don't feel like it's important enough to crack it.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
And it just so much time has passed, right? That initial evidence isn't there anymore. And they're like, well, I mean, she died in the hospital of pneumonia. She wasn't murdered in the hospital. And it's like, yeah, but there was an attempted murder.
Yes.
At least to me, right? Allegedly. Let's cover our ass. Allegedly. Shakira, this story just becomes more and more tragic. It's a tragedy for everyone who's involved. While Bobby Christina's in the coma, Nick has a very public meltdown, right? He can't go to the hospital. He's grieving in his own way, I guess. And he tries to go on to Dr. Phil for an interview, but he's so fucked up that Dr. Phil can't interview him. And Dr. Phil's like, this went from an interview to an intervention.
Wow.
When we get there, his lawyers, who I have to say clearly have his best interest at heart, they say, listen, we need help. I know you came to do an interview, but he is out of control and we are worried for his life. We think he is on self-destruct. And it was clear to me that all of a sudden this interview became an intervention. He was so animated and so emotionally out of control, I thought he could be dead in a matter of days if something doesn't happen here.
Nick ends up going to rehab, and then he comes out and he does another Dr. Phil interview, and that one's also disturbing, but not as disturbing as the previous one. Like, they're able to talk. He says he feels guilt, that he's innocent, but in August of 2015, the Brown family follows the wrongful death lawsuit against Nick Gordon. Nick completely fails to participate. He doesn't appear to court. His lawyers just say he's innocent, but he's not participating. And in 2016, the judge rules against him and awards the Brown family $36 million in damages.
Where he gonna get that money?
Yeah, he don't have that money.
Yeah, from what it's I understand, fake money. He don't have no job.
Mm-mm.
Right? He has no job. He was selling? I don't even know if he was selling.
I think
narcotics.
He was a liaison, if anything. Right?
He was just a like middleman?
Picking it up for people. Yeah.
Whack.
You know, maybe pinching some off the top, but I don't think he was making an income off that, you know?
Right. Especially if he was like threatening the family for money when they like took down Bobby Christina's allowance. He don't have no money. How was he paying?
Yeah, that's obviously why he suddenly was married to Bobby Christina once she had
money.
That's right. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
The judge I mean, they rule against him. They find him responsible for her death. They rule this $36 million and no one's ever going to see. They say that that's for money stolen from the account, punitive damages, assault and battery, pain and suffering. But no one's ever going to see that money. I think the only thing the Brown family got out of that is that a judge found him responsible. But yeah. He, by not participating, gets to be like, well, I didn't even participate. That's not a real trial.
Right. And they have he has no check for them to garnish his wages from. So
yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
In August of 2018, Max Lomas, the roommate, he's found unconscious in a bathroom with a needle nearby, and Max died of an apparent overdose.
What? Whoa, yeah. whoa. First of all, he was found guilty, Nick Gordon, and he went back to live in the apartment like everything was fine.
Oh, I don't think that they lived back in that house after. I think that was Bobby Christina's house. So I don't know if he was still roommates with Max when Max died.
Mm-hmm.
Max was just his roommate when Bobby Christina died.
Oh, got it.
Then in January of 2020, well, I was actually investigating this case at that time. So I remember this, the news breaks that Nick Gordon also dies of an apparent heroin overdose. Mm-hmm. So at this point, everyone who lived in that house, except for Daniela, has died.
Mm.
So Shakira, last episode, I told you about Winford Salmon, the quote, author who wrote a self-published book called The Murder of Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Well, Shakira, in September of 2015, our friend Winford, he published a sequel.
Oh, gosh.
He published a book. In fairness, it is slightly longer than the previous one. It's 39 pages rather than 30 and has significantly fewer photos. And this book was called The Murder of Whitney, Snitch, and Bobby Christina by Winford Salmon.
Now, who the heck is Snitch?
Snitch is the guy who confessed to killing Whitney in the first book.
Oh, gosh.
The one he meets at the hotel who tells him he killed Whitney a certain kind of way.
Wait, so did Snitch die too?
Yeah, spoiler alert, in the title, Snitch has died.
Oh my God.
So Winford says that he saw the news of Bobby Christina's death on the BBC, and he immediately called Snitch. And within 1 minute, he finds out from Snitch's wife that Snitch has died. In August of 2015, Winford, according to him, goes to Albany, New York, where Snitch was living, to meet with his wife. The wife gives him the fake name of Laura Winslow. From Family Matters.
From Family Matters. Come on.
How great is that? It might be my favorite part of the whole story.
Did you read Laura the whole Winslow. Book, George?
I mean, again, by book, we mean right. Now, 40 pages.
I use that term very loosely.
But I have read the entire pamphlet.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you what happens in this pamphlet, because it's a fascinating little tale that he is spinning here. So he goes to Albany, New York, where he meets Laura and Snitch's brother, Jojo, who also lives with him. Laura is suspicious of Winford. She says that Snitch wasn't the type of guy to snitch. And then she says, quote, he wasn't the type of dude to do that. He was rather reticent and laconic, never the type to tell his life to the extent in your book.
Mm.
Okay, so I've got some questions about that. Do you know many women who call their husbands dude?
Reticent? Oh.
Yes. And then also the words reticent and laconic? Laconic? I don't think she said any of this shit.
I don't think she said that. Yeah.
Do you think that the same person that calls her husband dude also uses the words reticent and laconic?
No, I don't. It's very hard to believe. He needs to work more on his character development.
Yeah, this character dialogue is terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. I do not believe this woman exists. One might presume from that Laura Winslow is a fake construct of a bad writer.
Oh, poor guy.
According to Laura, the day Snitch died, she got a call about 11:30 p.m. on July 30th and was told that Snitch had been shot, one bullet to the heart, and he was in Fulton County, Georgia. Which is really hitting close to home. According to Laura, Snitch didn't do business in that area, so it wasn't a deal gone sour. And he had his watch, a necklace, and $5,000 on him, so it wasn't a robbery. So she estimates that the killer must have wanted him dead.
Mm.
So Laura suggests that Winford goes and meets with Greg. Now, you might remember Greg from the first book. He's the drug dealer that gave Snitch the coke to give to Whitney that Snitch said he laced with potassium.
That's right. I remember that.
So Jojo takes Winford on his motorcycle to meet Greg, and they pull up to a house in a residential neighborhood. As he's walking into the house, he notices the house has been converted into a strip club. A house on a residential neighborhood has been converted to a strip club. Could you imagine being the neighbors?
Oh my gosh.
They lead Winford through the strip club and then down a hallway. And as he's going down the hallway, he describes seeing people in various rooms performing sex acts. So it's like a house turned strip club turned sex club. Yeah,
that's right.
And then they go back into the back of the house where Greg is playing poker with a bunch of dudes in a room full of baseball bats. Which is like, what the fuck is going on with this house? Like, also, I don't think that the illegal gambling is the worst activity in this house. That's not what we have to hide all the way in the back.
This is a ridiculous story. Like,
this is so stupid. So according to Greg, Snitch got caught up with Whitney's people. He said she got caught up in their shit. And then Winford goes, "What do you mean?" And so then Greg says, "My homeboy got caught up with Whitney's people long before they killed Whitney. He knew their conspiracies. He learned much of their secrets. He knew who was real from who was fake. He got too involved with them." Sounds pretty clear to me. Winford still doesn't get it. So Winford says, "What are you implying?"
Oh.
But like Winford, he's not implying shit. He's straight up told you. Yeah. Like Winford is also bad at understanding the story he's clearly making up. So Greg elaborates and he says, "My homeboy Snitch," making it clear which homeboy I guess he's speaking of. "My homeboy Snitch knew the identities of the people behind Whitney's death." And then he goes on and just like really spells it out to him. And he says, "As hard as it is for me to spit it out, my homeboy was their lapdog, a puppet on the string. He did things for those people which he should not have done." And then Winford is like the worst, because even then he asks for more fucking clarity. And he's like, "By people, do you mean Whitney's family?" And it's like, Winford.
Winford.
He's not going to do all the work for you, buddy. So then Greg makes it clear that he's talking about the society, which is the people at the church where Whitney grew up, and said that they convinced Snitch that they were doing this for God. Then, according to Greg, during Bobby Christina's coma, there was a split amongst the society. Some were pro-Nick and some were against Nick. Snitch was on the anti-Nick side of the schism, and he blamed Nick for Bobby Christina's coma, and he wanted Nick dead. Greg says that Snitch told him, quote, he wanted to personally castrate him and then stuff his balls down his throat until he suffocates.
Oh my gosh.
So like he had some really anger graphic issues against Nick. Yeah. Yeah. He had some graphic shit he wanted to do. So Snitch comes up with a plan and he calls and threatens Nick over the phone. And then he comes to Atlanta to kill him. Greg calls Snitch at 8 p.m. on July 30th. Snitch is in Roswell and he tells Greg tonight's the night he's going to kill Nick. With a dagger. Why a dagger? What year is this?
Interesting.
Right? He's going to have like an old school street fight gang with a switchblade or something.
That's right. That's right.
Greg says that he believes Nick set up a, quote, catch a rat game. He made Snitch think that he was the rat and that when Snitch fell for the bait and that basically Nick attacked Snitch when he came here to kill him. Greg also tells Winford details about Nick that show up in the court documents, like how much money Nick stole from Bobby Christina. Mm. I don't know how Winford knew that at the time. I don't know if those documents were public yet or not, but that interestingly is included in this. It's the one detail that I've heard in two places that occurs in this book. That's what I'm telling you. This guy, 99% bullshit. And then you get 1%, you're like, really? What's that about?
But also, why is anyone telling Winford anything? Like
anything.
Why is Greg like, yeah, my boy Snitch did this and XYZ. And what's your last name again? Like, how did he know this guy from You know what I mean? They don't know each other at all. So why would Greg say anything to him in his whorehouse?
Yeah, if I need to confess a crime in my whorehouse for the media, I'm not going to someone no one's ever heard of.
No one's ever heard of.
That's when I'm calling Gail King or, you know, Oprah or, you know, NBC. And be like, hey, I got a story for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to some dude who doesn't exist.
It's ridiculous. I just can't believe this story.
According to Winford, though, this was enough for him. Greg told him, I think Nick Gordon killed Snitch. And so Winford goes home. And after these two interviews he did in August, he has published this book by mid-September. And he writes...
self-published?
Oh, for sure.
It must be. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you have to have at least 50 pages to have a publisher publish, right? Like, they have a minimum, I'm assuming.
God.
Unless it's a kid's book.
Right.
Winford says in the last part of the book, I am pleased now because I've clearly identified suspects in both Bobby Christina and Snitch's death. Sussed out and proven dangerous. The suspect is Nick Gordon. The end.
Thank
you. It's just like, this is the worst detective novel ever. Like,
ever.
The detective goes, asks two witnesses. They're like, I think it was a guy named Nick. And he goes, case closed. Now I rest.
Oh, gosh. Case closed. Thank you. Good night. I love it.
No,
I love the audacity of Winfred. Like, I love it.
Oh, my God. He's so full of audacity. So much nerve.
So much nerve. Good for him. Your drunk uncle at a party telling you what he thinks, what he thinks happened is, like, not true at all.
Okay, so, but while Winfred is clearly a fake who's full of shit, I can't disagree with his conclusion. There's, like, nothing here that doesn't say that Nick Gordon didn't kill Bobby Christina. Allegedly, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. He's got that part, which I guess is, like, the book, right?
Yeah. I guess that's why Winfred felt so confident. He's like, no, that sounds about right. All right. That's it.
Done. Nothing else to talk about.
Now, Bobby Brown thinks that since Nick was both in L.A. when Whitney died, and in Atlanta when Bobby Christina died, that he is responsible for his daughter. And I see that, but I still don't see the evidence that Nick had anything to do with Whitney.
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It's just like a really tragic, sad chapter in this story. But the coincidences are too coincidental. And either by chance, a mother and daughter both died the exact same way, which is rare for adults to drown in their tubs.
Yeah.
Or somebody killed them both the same way.
Right.
Or the person who killed Bobby Christina was copycatting the way her mother died.
Right.
In a really fucking twisted act.
Right. Or no one else was involved. We still have to put that out there. And it actually was that.
I guess it was a coincidence, possibly.
It's a coincidence. And I've just never heard of anyone dying in a bathtub as an adult. And the water was so cold. You did not go to take a bath.
People don't go, you know what? I just had a horrible argument with my boyfriend. Now what I need, it's also like, what, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, right? It's like early. They've been up all night. I just need to soak in a nice cold tub.
Right.
And go to bed.
No.
They're both floating face down. I mean, it's just really awful. And it seems very deliberate.
It does. And how do you get face down? How do you get face down in a tub? It doesn't make sense. Oof.
The Brown family thinks that he gave her a dose of heroin, got her super high, and then put her under that water.
Yeah.
And a lot of it looks like they're not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So on the next and final episode of Who Killed Whitney, we're going to attempt to wrap up everything we know and what we don't know. Stay tuned for the exciting conclusion.
And we want to hear from you. You can share your theories, your thoughts with us at Who Killed Whitney on all of our social channels, or you can email us at tips@whokilledwhitney.com.
Who Killed Whitney is a Tucker Media production. Thank you to our producer, Kiana Kirkendall, and to Louis Aronovitz, who composed our theme song. Although I'm kind of inspired by him, and I'm, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but a much better writer. So maybe if I go crazy, that's what I'll do with my retirement too. Like, okay, if you ever start seeing like Confessions with a Killer, you know, the true murder of Betty White by... That's me.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. I'll make sure to pick that up.
Yeah, if ever you start seeing these like crazy confession books, but they're well written, they're me. I'm doing it.
They're you. Okay.
I think that'll be my name. That's my new pseudonym. You know what? I probably shouldn't announce it on a podcast if I want to.
I know.
Keep it a pseudonym.
Everybody knows you.
All right. Redacted.
Yeah, don't tell us.
Yeah. I'll put a bleep over it.